my words be truth. I don't wanna say a word unless it points to where I'm back to you.
Ready to hear the word of the Lord today? Are you ready to receive the word of the Lord today? Amen. How many know that God's word will bring change and life to us? One of the values here at Destiny Church is we value growth, and we grow by hearing and applying the word of God to our life. So it's our privilege today not only to speak the word of the Lord to you, but we also want to share it in a way that you can comprehend, understand, and apply it to your life, so that when you leave here today, you don't just leave here saying, man, that was a great service, but you leave here as well saying, I've got some spiritual tools that I can begin to use this week. Now, we're in the middle of this series called The Power of Words, and we are learning that the value of our words is so much greater than what we ever could have thought, as we talk about life and death are found in the power of the tongue, according to what Proverbs says in chapter 18, that we either speak life or we speak death. And this is something you cannot choose to get around. If you're able to speak today, then you're already operating in one of these principles. You're either speaking life or you're speaking death. Now today, I want you to know on the inside, I'm being really loud, because my voice is a little bit raspy here today. Woke up with a little bit of raspy voice, feeling just fine, but with the weather change, some of you know what I'm talking about. So I've been trying to pace myself. If you're wondering why Pastor Gene hasn't spoken that much today, I am valuing my words. And so I'm pacing myself to be able to share it with you today. But I want you on the inside today, I am being very loud, that I want you to know that this is such an important part of us growing with the Lord. As we talked about a few weeks ago, when our words are out of alignment, it's what Scripture says, when our words are out of alignment, it says the rest of our life is out of alignment. Have you ever driven a car that was out of alignment? You know what I'm talking about? You're driving, you can't hardly keep it on the lane unless you can always kind of turn it back to the left. It's always wanting to pull right or pull left. Or if you go 45, it seems to vibrate just right, you know, because it's out of alignment. And so you go 110 just to make sure it goes straight. Can't feel a thing, honey. I don't know what you're talking about. There's nothing wrong with this car. It's out of alignment. You got to get things back in alignment, because if your alignment's off, it affects everything else. The same way the Scripture is teaching you and I, that when our words are out of alignment, it says the rest of our life will be out of alignment as well. And so we're learning to get our words back into alignment with what God's Word says about us. Today I want you to see this short video as we get to series. I thought this was really a good video for us to show this morning, talking about the power of our words. Look at this kid's, the power of his words.
Strike one. I'm the greatest hitter in the world! Strike two. I'm the greatest hitter in the world! Strike three. Wow! I'm the greatest pitcher in the world! Yes!
Optimism. Pass it on. A message from the Foundation for a Better Life.
Don't you be, I ain't being around people who see the glass half full. And so many times we're always, when you're around negative people, man, it affects you. And when you surround yourself with negative people, we talked about last week how the Word of God says if you're around somebody who's negative, who always likes to gossip and who's always pointing out the bad and things, that you need to separate those people from your life. And I talked about the power of my own life, how my wife and I had, we had to come to a point in our life where we had to begin to separate ourselves from certain people in our life because they were always negative. And it affects your home. It affects your marriage. It affects your attitude. And so we're learning to speak positive words. We're learning to speak words of life according to what Scripture teaches us. Today I want to talk to you about how to control. We're going to give you some application today. Not just what's wrong, but now we're going to talk about how to fix it. How to control your tongue. As we talked about the last few weeks, Scripture says that only God can tame our tongue. Only the Holy Spirit can tame our tongue. That the tongue, according to what Scripture says, is humanly, it's untamable. It's only can be tamed by the divine workings of the Holy Spirit. The only God's control of our tongue and mouth can control our tongue, can tame our tongue. But we do have a responsibility, according to James 1:26. This is our responsibility. Remember this scripture we read it a few weeks ago. If anyone among you thinks he is religious, don't you like religious people? But this is not talking about religious people in the way that maybe you're thinking about traditionalists. This way this translates to speak is actually anyone who serves God. So let's read it in that context. If anyone among you thinks he is serving God and does not what? Everybody say it together. Does not what? Bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart. This one's religion or this one's serving God is what? Useless. It's useless. I mean, that's a pretty hard word to take, isn't it? Have you ever felt like, man, I'm just not getting anywhere. I'm wanting to grow. I'm applying spiritual principles to my life. My pastor, it feels like I'm just treading water. I feel like I'm just treading water. I'm not really going anywhere. Could it be maybe that the reason why we're not getting anywhere is because our words are not lining up with our actions? Our heart wants to do the right thing. Our actions are trying to do the right thing. But our words are defeating us by keeping us out of alignment. And so we got to learn to bridle what Scripture says bridle, which means control, our tongue. Now, I had someone in the church today bring me a bridle for a horse. And so today, TJ, you going to come put this on today? Just play. We know a bridle, a horse. This is an amazing thing. Could you ever think that this small bridle, that you could put a 100-pound human being on a 1,200-pound horse, and this small bridle could control a horse? It's an amazing. Why is that possible? Because when you slip a bridle over a horse, what goes in its mouth? The bit. Remember, the bit goes into the mouth, and it's controlled by the bridle. And so if you can get your bit into the mouth of the horse and the bridle on its head, you can control that wild animal. It's an amazing thing. Think about that a minute. By controlling the mouth of the horse, I can control this monster of an animal. As precious as they are, don't, no offense, Michelle. I used to have a buddy in high school who had some horses, and they always liked to put me on the one that wasn't tamed. And they just got a kick out of that. They thought, this is great. We go horseback riding. They always gave me the one that wasn't tamed. The one that wanted to always run me into trees. Every branch he saw, he always tried to knock me off. But when we were in that horse, we had to come to Jesus meeting every time we rode together. Have you ever seen a horse that's not been tamed, a wild horse, try to get bridled? It's an event, isn't it? A horse that's not tamed, try to get bridled, that's an event all in itself. Is it hard to bridle an untamed horse? Is it? Yes, very difficult, right? It's very difficult to bridle an untamed horse. Is it impossible? No, because it happens. It's a part of the taming process, is learning to get the bridle on the horse. So keeping that in context, I want you to get this. Our responsibility is to begin to bridle our tongue. And when you first try this, let me tell you, it's like taming a wild horse. It's not going to be easy. But it is so worth it. It's so beneficial. And it will work the more you allow the Holy Spirit to use you in your own words to say, you know what? I want to learn to control my tongue, bridle my tongue, and let God tame my mouth. It doesn't happen immediately, but it can happen over time. Let me give you three ways we can control our tongue. Three ways we can control your tongue. Number one, we got to learn to pause. Turn to your neighbor and say, pause. Slow down. Come on, say it real slow. Say, be slow to speak. Pause and be slow to speak. We get this principle right out of James chapter 1, verse 19, which says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone, except for Christians, right? Everyone except for ladies of the church should be, no, it says everyone, it's all of us. Everyone should be quick to what? Listen. And what? Slow to speak. And slow to become angry. We need to realize this. Is anyone here, have you ever had a problem with getting angry way too fast? I can tell you, I've lived there. It's something I've struggled with at times in my life. Has anyone ever had a problem with getting angry way too fast? Come on. Who will be honest? That's me, Pastor. Okay. The rest of you got a problem with lying, right? Okay. This tongue thing, it just works both ways. Could it be this, that if we have a problem with getting angry way too fast, could it all be linked back to this verse, which says if we'll slow down, be quick to listen, if we're slow to speak, then what happens? Then we become slow to become angry. If we would just pause before we speak, maybe our anger wouldn't get so much at a quickly at a high level. Maybe we become a person who becomes more patient. We become a person who controls himself better. Because we all know that once we lose it in anger, that the words that come out of our mouth are uncontrollable. Those things are like a wild horse just bucking away. The words are just coming out, and you don't care because you are angry. And I can tell my wife, I said, honey, I am at that point where I am getting, I know me, and I know that I'm getting this close to being very angry. And when I get angry, I know you'll have a hard time believing this, but I can say words that aren't very kind. I know that shocks you, okay? And so I tell her, I said, honey, just let me cool down. I need to be, she wants to talk it out, which is great. But I'm like, honey, I just need time to pause. I need the pause button. Let me go work out. Let me cool down. Let me come back, and then we can talk. Why? Because I know I can feel my level getting here, and I know the words that are getting ready to come out of my mouth are not very healthy. That's how we spiritually say we get out the sin out of our mouth, okay? Okay. And so I'm like, I just need to take a pause. So we got to be quick to listen, slow to speak. I'll give you an acronym here I want you to know. We got to remember to wait. Remember to wait. When you think about speaking, remember this. Wait, which stands for this. Why am I talking? Why am I talking? Why am I talking? So next time you get ready to respond to something, ask yourself, say, I better wait. Why am I talking? Am I getting ready to respond out of anger? Am I getting ready to say things that are unhealthy? Am I getting ready to try to prove that I'm a know-it-all? I need to slow down and ask myself, why am I talking? Take a second and wait. Pause. If we have the power to speak life and death in our words, then why do we just shoot them out there so fast without pausing and saying, what am I getting ready to speak? Am I going to speak life? Or am I getting ready to speak destruction? I want my words to be life-giving words. Even when I have correction to give, I don't want it to be destruction. Even if I'm speaking correction, I want to do it in a way, Chuck, that produces life. We talked about this a few weeks ago. There's a way that you can correct and still build people up and produce life in them, or your correction can drive them to say, forget you, I'll do this. It's the opposite. We all face this with our children all the time. Why don't my kids obey me and mind me? And we shoot off at the mouth at them, and then they react to us, and then they slam the door, and we slam the door, and won't you slam the door at me? What would happen if we just slow down? Slow down. Pause. Let's pause. And now, I'm saying this because I'm going to laugh because I know what my kids are going to tell me today. The first time I start to raise my voice, Dad, you need to pause. If you think living what you preach is hard, you should try preaching what you live. That's even harder, okay? That's a hard thing. We need to take more time to think about our words. If they have the power of life and death, just don't say whatever pops into your mind. Stop. Pause about it. Look what Proverbs 21:23 says. Whoever guards his what? Mouth and tongue keeps his souls from troubles. You want to keep yourself out of trouble? Guard your mouth.
Guard your tongue. Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words, that means those who talk a lot, sin is not lacking. If you want to find sin, find someone who talks too much. But he who restrains his words is what? Is what? Who wants to be considered wise? Isn't it a great compliment when someone tells you, boy, you're wise? And this is a great thing. I want every person in this room to get this, especially our young adults here today, young people. If you can learn this lesson today, it can save you some really heartache and grief in your life. Matter of fact, it can elevate you to become a person that people look to and say, that person is wise beyond their years. Why is that? Because simply all you do is simply listen. Not that you have a lot of wisdom that comes out of you, but you simply pause and being a good listener, people perceive you to be wise. It's my responsibility to guard my words. Proverbs 17, look what it says in verse 27 and 28. The one who has knowledge, person who's smart, does what? He uses words with what? Restraint. And whoever has understanding is an even-tempered person. Look what it says here. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongue. So let me tell you this. This is the best way to fake it until you make it. Be quiet, and people will perceive you as a wise person. I remember one time in ninth grade, I was in a class that I knew I was going to struggle with. So I'm like, I'm going to pick the smartest guy in this room, and I'm going to sit next to him, or the smartest girl, depending on how she looked. But it was a class that I actually picked the guys. And so I was like, this guy looks really smart. He's quiet. He's the only one taking notes. And so I moved my chair, and I started sitting right next to him thinking, this guy's going to help me. You know, he can help. I can ask questions. He'll be there to help me out. It'll be like having the teacher right next to me. And so I remember one time we were studying and getting something done, and I had a question. I'm like, dude, man, what's the answer to this? I don't know what to do. And he's like, I don't know. I'm like, aren't you smart? And he goes, no, man, I'm struggling in this class. I'm like, but you're always taking notes. You never talk. Everybody else is talking in class. You're taking notes. So there's something about just being quiet that I perceived this man was a wise guy, even though he wasn't. He says, even fools will be looked at as wise if they will restrain their words. So you want people to look at you at your job and say, boy, there's a wise person. There's somebody I can trust. There's somebody who can handle this promotion. Here's somebody I has with some wisdom. Right here. Just learn to be quiet. Learn to listen. Learn to pause. And people will perceive you, according to Scripture, as smarter than what you really are. I had someone who was really close to me when I first started out in ministry over 20 years ago. A man by the name of Ron Miner. Some of you guys know him. He gave me some advice. I just came to Bible college, and I was sitting in his office. And for no particular reason, I wasn't in trouble, as you may think. But I was actually sitting there talking to him. And we were just having some good one-on-one conversation. And he gave me some advice that I never forgot, and probably some of the best advice anyone's ever given me in my whole life. He said, Gene, he goes, what you're going to have to do in life is this. You're going to have to learn to shut your mouth. I'm like, okay, that's a good advice. He goes, be quiet, because everybody's going to want to run their mouth. Everybody thinks they got the greatest revelation. Everybody thinks they know it all. Everybody thinks this, this, and that. He goes, keep your mouth shut. And then when they ask you to speak, talk and have something to say. That was some great advice. Keep my mouth shut. Have something to say. And when I'm called upon to speak, have something of substance to say. I tell you what, that's been some of the greatest advice anyone's ever given in my life. Because so many times we're so quick to talk. We're so quick to give our opinion. I had to tell myself over and over again to slow down. Don't be ready. Look at this statement. Here's some Pastor Gene wisdom 101 here. It's better for you to close your mouth and people to think you are a fool than for you to open your mouth and leave no doubt. Let me say it again one more time. It's better for you to close your mouth and people to think you're a fool than for you to open your mouth and leave no doubt. Slow down. You want to always have something to say. I always have to tell myself, don't talk too much. I do this a lot even when I'm heading to a life group. I'm like, all right, we're going to the life group, and I know they're going to be talking about my message today. They're going to be discussing the points of my message today. And I tell myself before I get there, Gene, be quiet. Gene, be quiet. Gene, be quiet. And it's not easy to do when you're talking about my message. And sometimes you take the message and you go away that I didn't really intend for it to go. And so I'm like, sometimes I want to get you back on track, but I have to realize this, that I need to be quiet. I've already had my time to speak. And this, you need to speak. You need to process this information out. And just because the Holy Spirit translates it to you maybe in a different way than I intended, I've got to be okay with that. And I got to let you process it and speak it out. See, I could come in very easy and say, I got to talk about this because I'm the one who wrote this, you know? Or I could come in and be quiet. And so I come in and pick my time. I want you to speak. That's why on Facebook, I don't preach every day on Facebook. I don't want to speak all the time on Facebook, preaching all the time on Facebook. And then I'm coming and preaching on this and that. And then I get up on Sunday morning. You guys will be like, there's Pastor. That's Charlie Brown's teacher. Because all we hear is, wah, 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 wah. You get so used to hearing me preach all the time that my words become ineffective. And so I try to be a person who, pastor, who maybe gives you a nugget here and there during the week, something funny, post a picture about my own personal life, talk about me working out, things that are just going on in my everyday life, so that when I come on Sunday morning, you're ready to hear me preach the word of the Lord. And you haven't gotten tired of me preaching to you every day of the week. You see the wisdom in that. You see, it's something that happens when we learn to control our mouth and not feel like we always have to have the answers. And this is really hard for people who are wise, because you have a lot of wisdom you want to give. But sometimes we got to learn to control our tongue and allow the Holy Spirit to bring the right opportunity, the right timing, for that to be the most effective for us to speak out. Let me just tell you some revelation. People hate someone who thinks he knows it all. Let me tell you that again. People hate people in a non-biblical way who think they know it all. Does everybody know people who think they know it all? Raise your hand if you know somebody who knows it all. Okay. If you didn't raise your hand, you are probably the person who thinks he knows it all. Just teasing you today. It's kind of like that statement, you know, every family has an Uncle Si. If your family doesn't have an Uncle Si, you're probably the Uncle Si of the family, okay? And that's a fact, Jack. Take it to the bank. Let me take it right there, okay? Learn to control your words. Don't feel like you have to always be the person who knows it all. Proverbs 18:13. To answer before listening. To answer before listening is what? A folly and a shame. When I think of a folly, what do you think of? Think of sports bloopers, don't you? The folly reels, you know? You want to make a fool of yourself? Answer before listening. It's also a shame, according to Scripture. Stop interrupting people. Stop and listen. And I can tell you this, I struggle with this because, you know, I've got a lot of experience. Over 20 years of ministry, I've heard a lot of stories. I've experienced a lot of things personally, and I've experienced a lot of things with you and other people. I've had the privilege of being a part of their lives. And so it's easy for you to start telling your story and me to interrupt you and say, oh, I got a better story than that. Let me tell you my story. Let me one up. Let me tell you, my struggle was greater than yours. My loss was greater than yours. My victory was better than yours. It's very easy to interrupt because we think we got the answer. No, we need to stop and let people speak. My wife and I, we struggle with it sometimes. I know you guys, your marriage is perfect. But ours, sometimes we struggle with this. We'll be talking with another couple at dinner, and the whole time what's going on is under the table. My wife has got her claws dug into my leg. And every time I interrupt her sentence, she just claws away at me. I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And she's like, let me speak and finish my thought. And when she does this to me, I just kind of bump her shin like this. I'm like, be quiet. I'm the pastor here. I got something to say. It's really important. Let me counsel these people with godly wisdom. So we've learned over time, we've learned to let each other finish their sentence before we interrupt. I know we're the only ones ever struggle with that, right? Okay. We got to learn to be people who slow down. That's what it says. Don't answer before you listen. Slow down. I love parent-teacher conferences, you know. I remember when I was a kid that I went to my first time I went to school. One of the first things the parents got from the teachers was Gene's a great student, but he never shuts up. He always talks. And my cousin's here today. He drove from Oklahoma today. He lived with me like he's like my big brother. He lived with us when he was older. He can test this. He's, I don't tell you a lie. When I went to school, I was in trouble all the time for running my mouth. Is this true, Lucky? Is this true? Yes, okay. I was running my mouth all the time. And so, you know, they always like, you know, and we had this thing. I went to a private school for the first 8 years of my prison, I mean my school life. And we had these dividers. You know, you sit in these dividers so you couldn't talk to anybody next to you. And so I stuffed books and paper in my divider so that when they put the dividers in mine, it would be about this much longer than everybody else's. So that I had enough room to look over and talk to the person next to me. Always talking. And the teachers always said, you know, he just doesn't pay attention. He wants to talk the whole time. He's a great student, but he just doesn't pay attention. He doesn't focus. And so we're sitting in our parent-teacher conferences with our kids now. And the same thing comes up. They're like, oh, your students are very respectful. They respect authority. They obey. You have great kids. And they're making good grades, but they like to talk. Mr. Beebe, your kids like to talk. And I'm like, what? What? Okay. What? Your kids like to talk too much in class. And I'm like, I have no idea where they get that from. So I can tell you, I can struggle with this about talking too much and wanting to run my mouth too much. It got me in a lot of trouble growing up. But I've learned over time, the Holy Spirit has helped me to slow down. Okay, so I learned to what? Pause. And then number two, I learned to ponder. There we go. The second P. Remember, this is something you're going to remember. We're going to learn to pause and then ponder. Think about what you are going to say. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Think about what you're going to say. Don't just say it. Have you ever said something and said, man, I wish I could take that back. I wish that I'd put more thought into my response. I wish I would have worded that different. I wish I'd have maybe been a little kinder in my words. I wish I'd have used different phrasing so it meant something different and it came across. Why is it? Because we speak too soon. Often we speak too soon. If we just slow down, pause, and then begin to think about what I'm going to say, this is the power of life or the power of death. How do I communicate what I'm going to say? How much would it change? See, there's three types of talkers. Look at this. All three of us fit in one of these categories. People who think before they talk. People who think while they talk. And people who think after they talk. Which one are you? Ask yourself that question today. Which one are you? And my goal today is this, that we'll start to gravitate toward number one. I want to learn to be someone who thinks before they talk. I am naturally number two, someone who thinks while they talk. I like to brainstorm out loud. I like to talk out loud, my thoughts. That's how I process a lot of information. I'm putting ideas out there, saying a lot of things fast. And so a lot of times that's the way I communicate. So I've really had to discipline myself to say, I got to slow down, begin to think before I talk. We have to think in two places according to Scripture. It says we think in two places. Number one, with our minds. We all know that. We think in our minds. But also Scripture says we think in our hearts. Did you know that? You have thoughts in your hearts. Not just your mind. Scripture backed us up with tons of scripture. Let me give you three of them. But let me tell you, the Bible is full of scriptures that talk about us having thoughts in our hearts. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinks, as he thinks in his what? Heart. Why would it say how we think in our heart if we can't think in our heart? As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Bring up the next one in Luke chapter 9:47. And Jesus perceiving what? Jesus knew the thoughts of their mind, right? No. He knew the thoughts of their heart. In Matthew 9:4, but Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said this, why do you think, what? Evil in your hearts. And we can just give you scripture after scripture to back this principle up that our thoughts also come from our heart, not just our mind. And what's amazing now is medical science is now researching this and writing about this, and we have doctors who are coming out now and saying that our thoughts not only come from our minds, but now come from our hearts. And how they're proving this, is that now that we're in the modern age of transplants and heart transplants, we have people who are receiving documented heart transplants, And after they get a transplant, not knowing the person who the donor was, they're receiving and coming with thoughts that came from the last person. It's amazing. There was a guy, I've been reading stories about a guy who was 55 years old, a classical musician, loved classical music, detested anything loud, detested anything with electric, you know what I'm talking about, very much classical. And after his heart transplant, he received the heart of a teenager. And for some reason, he didn't know that, of course. He woke up with the need and a taste for rock and roll music. They couldn't figure it out, and they did the research later and figured out that he'd gotten a young man's heart, and his taste in music changed right away. His thoughts were not about classical music. He wanted to rock and roll all night and sleep all day. But anyway, there was a story about a young preschooler. He was young, preschooler age, and he received the heart of a married man. When he received his heart, he woke up and told his parents. He said, the first thing out of his mouth, he said, Mom and Dad, everything is copacetic. A preschooler used this word, copacetic, and he had never, ever heard that word or ever used that word. And then come later, they found out the research and found out who the donor was and met the family. That copacetic was the word that this man and the wife had used between them as their word of affirmation, saying that everything was okay. They only used it between each other. This little boy had never had known that or ever heard that word. But the thought came to him, and he said it right away, that everything is copacetic. Things that happened, and we see this time and time again, where people who were a lady who had received a heart transplant from a person who had been killed in a train wreck. And she didn't know that, but she received the heart, and she woke up, and she kept complaining of having recurring nightmares of being in a train wreck. And so medical science is now documenting this, and they're saying there's more to this, that in our heart comes along with thoughts. And this is something that's not new to us because Scripture's been saying this for thousands of years. That our thoughts are in our hearts. Just another way that the Bible was ahead of its time, and you can be reassured what's written in here is true today as it ever was. And today we know this, that our thoughts can be found in our heart. So we need to pause and ponder. Think about it, not only in our mind, but with our hearts. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. This is important to know, because when we're truly saved, we receive a new heart. That's what Scripture says. We receive a new heart at salvation. And I can tell you, this is really true. When we're saved, we receive a new heart, but Scripture says our minds are still old. He says we have to transform them. We're being renewed by the transforming of our mind. It's an ongoing process that our old mind becomes renewed. But our hearts are created new at salvation. And so this is important because I want you to get this. We need to let our new heart think for our old mind that is being renewed. Let me say again. We need to let our new heart think for our old mind that is being renewed. I can tell you that when I fully gave my heart to Christ, that my heart was changed right away. And no one told me about the power of my words. Nobody told me about anything like about that. But all of a sudden, some of the words that were coming out of my mouth, some of the things I was saying, I knew they grieved God. They never bothered me before, but now they bothered me all of a sudden. All of a sudden, the things I was saying, they were grieving God. And I knew it in my heart. And no one had told me that. Why? Because my heart had been changed. And all of a sudden, I knew that some of the things coming out of my mouth were not pleasing to God. Did I change right away? No. I struggled a long time. It was a process. But my heart right away started gauging and know that I needed to change some things. And so I had to start letting my heart be the gauge of saying, I got to stop saying this. I need to change this in my life. Let my new heart begin to create and change my words. Changing my mind. And the last thing here, we pause, we ponder, and we got to pray. Before you speak, pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to direct my words. We ask the Holy Spirit to direct my words. It's our words that have got to change. Let me give you a story. I love the story. You read it before, but let me give it to you in a way maybe you never thought of in Isaiah chapter 6. The story of King Uzziah when he died. Now Isaiah, the whole nation was mourning the death of the great king. And so he went to the temple to pray. Everybody's in shambles. Everybody's just saying, what's going to happen next? And he says, I saw the Lord. He was there in the temple. He was high and exalted. He was seated on the throne. He had a vision of God. He says, the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphims. This is talking about angels. Each one with six wings. Two wings they covered their faces. With two they covered their feet. And with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth was full of his glory. And the sound of their voices and the doorposts and the threshold shook. The temple was filled with smoke. And he says, woe to me. I cried, I am ruined. For what? For I am a man of unclean lips. And I live among people with unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, Lord Almighty. The one of the seraphim flew to me. And he had a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. And with it he touched my mouth. He says, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin atoned for. And I want you to get this, because here Isaiah is having this incredible God moment. We've preached this to a blue in the face as pastors. And we're like, man, I want to see the Lord. And we preach the high of this encounter with God. Do you realize the first thing that was convicted when he saw the Lord was what? Was about how long his hair was? Was the first thing he was convicted about was you know, what are you doing with this or this kind of action? No, the first thing he was convicted of was the words of his mouth. He says, I saw the Lord. The angels were in the room. And as soon as I saw the Lord, my mouth, I knew my mouth was unclean. See, there's something to this. I want you to get the weight of this. That when our mouth lines up, that the rest of our life will begin to line up. He says, I'm unclean. My mouth's unclean. And said, God's angels came and took the coals from the altar and ministered to his mouth right there. You think God doesn't care about your mouth? He does. You think he doesn't care about your unclean lips? He does. And his grace is waiting to tame it. His grace is waiting to sustain it. His grace is waiting to flow out of you. He wants the Holy Spirit to touch your mouth. Let me tell you, the next 2 weeks I'm going to talk about how the Holy Spirit touches our mouth, changes our words, changes us. We're going to talk about giving control of the Holy Spirit to our mouth. It's going to be awesome. We're going to be talking about receiving the Holy Spirit in a new way. But when God changes us, when we're in the presence of God, the first thing that he wants to change is our mouth. Why? Because if we can get our mouth lined up right, he says the rest of our life will begin to follow in line. How many today say, Pastor, I am ready. I am ready to let God control my tongue. I am ready to let God control my mouth. I'm having this word is coming and speaking right to me today. I want to learn to be slow to speak. I want to learn to pause. I want to learn to think about what I speak. And I want to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give me direction as I speak my words. Anybody here, that's the words for you. Raise your hand if that's you today. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet today. We're going to close out this service with a time around the front. We'll be coming and make this application personal to us. So I'm going to invite you to join me around the front today if you would like to. We're going to close at the sign saying, God, we give control of our words, our tongue, our mouth to you. We want to learn to give you everything we are. I love the words of the song, especially toward the middle of this bridge when it says, my life be lifted high. In my world, be lifted high. How about in our words? Be lifted high. Let's make it personal. God, in my world, my life, my words, be lifted high. I want to learn to be a person who speaks from wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Come, let's make it personal today. Scoot into the front, guys. Make room for those coming around there. Thank you.
Lift your hands one more time. I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for every person in this room today. That God, you are challenging us by the power of the words of Scripture, which bring life, which bring correction, which brings growth in our life, will produce godly fruit. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you love us enough to instruct us. And Father, I pray right now that, Lord, this message will sink into our heart. That, Father, we'll learn to pause. We'll learn to think about it, ponder, and think about what we're going to say. And let me pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide our words. And when people look at us, that things begin to change. And people say, boy, you're maturing faster. You are wise. What's happening? We're learning to listen. And then we're learning to let our words be God-driven. Let our words become Spirit-driven. Father, I pray right now that, God, you are helping us. God, you are helping us control our tongue. Lord, may words that are not pleasing to you, may your Holy Spirit convict us. The words out of our mouth that don't please you, God, may we be young men, young women, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas in this room. May we be people who speak with words of integrity, words of honesty, words that are empowered by your Holy Spirit in our life. God, I thank you, Lord, you are growing us and taking us and challenging us to go to a new level. And Father, we give you praise. And we say yes. If you come into agreement with that word today, put your hands together. God, I agree with that word in my life. Amen. Let me give you a couple things before you leave. Stay focused right here. Number one, if you want to be baptized, we're having a water baptismal service the Sunday before Thanksgiving. If you haven't signed up, stop in the back and sign up and say, I want to know more information. And let us know you want to be baptized. We'd love to baptize you. If you've never been water baptized, you need to be water baptized. It's a public confession of your faith, saying, I want to be baptized. Maybe you're baptized as a kid, like I was. And if I made a decision as an adult to become a Christian, I also want to make that decision publicly on my own and say, you know what? I want to be baptized again because I feel like God is doing something new in my life. If that's you today, stop by and sign up today. Don't forget, Passion's having the taco feed. Other things happening back there today. Stop by and grab your taco. Save your money and give it to the church. Let them help out those kids as they go to Passion. See you in the life group tonight, GAF tonight, high school group in the coffee shop tonight. It's going to be a busy night. Turn to somebody and say, it was good to be with you. God bless you.